you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 28, a familiar verse for many of you. Some of you, it's your life verse, or you've heard many sermon messages on this verse, or maybe today it'll be a new verse that you'll really take to heart, because my special guest on this Testimony Tuesday, it's one of her favorite verses, and we'll get into her testimony in just a minute. But reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, August 23rd, 2022. And joining me in the studio on this Testimony Tuesday is Melissa Wilhelm. She's the Special Events and Development Coordinator for the Salvation Army for the Champaign-Vermilion County. We have so many wonderful Salvation Army offices, I think in Lincoln and Springfield and other areas.
All over the world.
And she's going to represent all the great work that they're doing. She's going to talk about some of the unique calling and how God brought her to this place. But we appreciate all those that serve the Salvation Army offices throughout our area. And I know there's a lot of listeners that support the Salvation Army. And so we'll talk a little bit about how you can get involved, how you can make a difference in the services that they provide. And one of the unique things about the Salvation Army is if you're in an area where you support that local Salvation Army, that gets distributed right there to the people in the immediate area. It doesn't go, you know, overseas or across town. It helps the people that you live near or that you're around. So, Melissa, thank you for joining me on short notice and being a part of things. In fact, you were a part of our prayer night a week or so ago, the Thursday night when we're meeting as a group to just see what God's up to build community and to have a greater appreciation of God. It was a time of worship, and I briefly mentioned it some yesterday, but it was a time where we came together, we worshiped God, then we shared some life stories, built some community, and then just that rich prayer time. What did you think about that gathering?
Great. Okay, so first of all, thank you so much for inviting me here today. This is Testimony Tuesday,
yes.
And so those words make me a little nervous because my testimony is very big, and there's just a whole lot to it. So I appreciate you bringing me in, and I know we probably won't touch on all that today, but in terms of what I experienced here, was that Thursday evening?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, that was really something, yeah. And I want to thank you for that too. I don't know that I've ever been in a room that was, first of all, filled with such diversity from so many different countries represented here in this little room, but also such a strong faith in every person that was here, the fellowship. There is no doubt that there was just such a strong presence of God Thursday night, and I am still beaming about what happened here Thursday
night.
Yeah, it
was a very unique gathering of friends, and some had their friends in from, can't remember which country. And
we had Nigeria here.
Nigeria,
yes.
That was it. Nigeria, and then Taiwan, and China, and South Korea, and some local friends, and it was just very special. Our buckets were filled up, and we were very encouraged, and we're going to do it again on Thursday night, September 1st at 7 p.m., and we want passionate followers of Jesus that are really seeking his leading for our community, and those that want to see him at work and want to pray about it, and want to build community. So it was great having so many people from so many different backgrounds.
Representing international students and local churches and individuals that just want to be in that group and pray together. And we did a little singing together, and we just all really connected, asking God to be present in it, which he certainly was, as he always is. It was just a wonderful experience.
It was. Well, thank you for sharing that. And if there's a stirring in your heart to be about something bigger than yourselves, come join us on September 1st, 7 p.m. We'll be done by 8:30.
So that's at Good News Media at Marketplace Mall.
Marketplace Mall, which is right near the Salvation Army.
Yes,
across the street, just to the east of us.
Yes.
So we can almost see each other if I walk out the door here.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a really interesting personal motto, and I wanted to begin with that as you'll transition into some of your faith journey. But I love the fact that you write, "Life is short, be true to yourself, and know that you will never please everyone."
Yeah.
do what you believe in, do what you love, and have fun doing it. Do this to the absolute best of your ability and with the utmost integrity. Never go to bed regretting how you spent your days.
I know that by heart because that is my personal motto, and I just wholeheartedly believe that. I lost a husband very early. I was 35 years old, and I know that life is short, and I feel like the older I get, the faster time is going, actually. But even still, you just don't know, and I think we learned that in such a big way with COVID. I really felt like I experienced that at a young age and then became a widow very unexpectedly, very suddenly at 35 years old. And I was white-knuckling through my life for a while having those experiences. And the thing is, I felt like the world was still going at the same pace and everyone was still doing their things. And I was struggling, you know, and I felt like with COVID, we were all going through that together. We were all white-knuckling our way through that together, and in a lot of strange ways, it brought us all closer and really gave us the up-close view of how fragile life actually is. I feel like I've known that for a while. Mm-hmm. I know many people have. I'm not special in any way in that, but once you realize that, that's really where that motto came from.
And that motto kind of echoes a little bit of this Romans 8:28, because when you recognize that you are loved by God, you know things are going to work out and he delights in you, and you've had some trying times, a lot of adversity in your life. And I could probably spend about 5 minutes giving an introduction of all your professional abilities and the qualities, the leadership, what you've specialized in with recruiting and business development, volunteering, working with various nonprofits. But it
all
seems
blessings.
Like God has orchestrated all that experience so that you could be that perfect fit for being the special events and development coordinator for the Salvation Army.
And you know what's interesting about that? I love Salvation Army so much. It's my favorite thing to talk about. This is odd because we're talking more about me today than Salvation Army. It feels a little foreign to me a little bit. But I'll tell you, even if I don't work for Salvation Army tomorrow, which I hope not to be the case, but if that is the case, first of all, I'll just say I will support the organization for the rest of my life, having this past year behind me and having this experience. But even still, whatever is in front of me, this will absolutely lead to that. Mm-hmm. And when you have your toughest day, you fall hardest on your knees. Yeah. There is something beautiful that's going to come of that day. And I know that from all of the different experiences that I've had in my life. This is my life verse. And I love the, and we know, and we know, because I often get into that conversation with people. Well, how do you know? Why do you know that? Why do you believe so strongly in this? People oftentimes will call me religious. Now, Melissa, I know you're religious. Well, actually, I don't really label myself that way. I have a relationship with God. I love God. I believe in Jesus. You know, that's where I'm at. And the other part of this verse is, in all things work together. All things work together. So I think we watch the news. We are so inundated with information. We're on information overload. And it is so easy. We hear all the bad things constantly because that's what rises to the surface many times. And we don't see the good that comes from all of this, or the good that's actually happened as a result of COVID. And it's a hard pill to swallow when you're saying this, but that's where faith lies, you know, and that's where this verse is at for me.
And I love the part too, for those who love him. And so there's a qualifier. So for some of you tuned in today, maybe don't recognize that God loves you or cares for you or created you and designed you and has plans and purposes for your life. It's pretty key to understand this verse that you need to get to know about God's love, because as you get to know about God's love, you're freed up to serve him, to worship him. And then he takes a special interest in your life and will direct your path, because you'll begin that relationship and he's going to be that loving Father God that will overshadow decisions you make or help you understand directions to take. And that's kind of what happened in your life, because your dad, who yesterday he actually got into new living arrangements. And it's somewhat to his credit that you're at the Salvation Army. And so you're going to take us through a little of that journey, how you got here. But start off with your faith journey about growing up in the home and really wanting to get to church to get away from maybe a little bit of a chaos or a regimented situation where you went to church by yourself.
Okay, so first of all, let me just start by saying this. I am by far not a perfect person. Mm. I am a sinner. There's no doubt about that. I don't want to mislead people on this call that things are perfect in my life. And, you know, I made some sharp turn and transition, and one day all of a sudden started believing in God and everything was perfect from there. Mm-hmm. That's not how it goes. That's not what it's like to be a Christian. Not at all, as a matter of fact. In some ways, things get a little tougher for us, actually. But what you're referring to, so I grew up here in Champaign, and I grew up in Dobbins Downs, as a matter of fact. So very humble beginnings here, no doubt about it, and still living and towing that humble life, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact. People probably know Dobbins Downs. I went to Garden Hills Elementary School, and my dad was a drill instructor in the Marines. My dad was very loud, and I am the oldest of five. Grew up here in Dobbins Downs, the oldest of four at the time. And that church bus went by our house every Sunday. And on Sundays, it was kind of our day to stay inside and spend some time with my father, who worked 80 hours a week and was very tired. And pretty much things would get pretty challenging in that household, mm-hmm. with my dad being overly tired and it being very loud. Can imagine with children from 8 years down, you know, four of us, two of us probably still in diapers, very loud, three bedroom, one bathroom house. So you better believe I was on that church bus every Sunday, every Sunday. And I am so grateful for that.
And that led to learning of a camp, because I want you to share some of the faith journey, because people will think, well, of course you're a Christian because you grew up in a Christian home or because you were attending church, but it became personal and then you grew through that. But there was a turning point on that camp where you're kind of the shy type, you're behind the scenes.
Not anymore. I was a really shy kid, actually. I didn't make eye contact with people. I was always hiding behind my hair. I was sort of embarrassed by my clothing. You know, I would have hand-me-downs from my cousins, and I just didn't want to draw a lot of attention
to
myself.
Your cousins, which were like 40 or 50?
Oh, I got lots of cousins. Yeah. They're all over the country now. But, you know, my family's originally from Danville, so I have, I think, 52 cousins right now walking around somewhere in the world. So a lot, big, big family. All of that said, I think like many people, when you find yourself in a church pew, it's complex. It's challenging to understand all of that as kind of you feel like an outsider. You don't quite understand some things. And I was a child on top of it, you know, but with all of that, there was this church camp and they took 100 girls and 100 boys. And I was probably maybe 10 years old at the time. And so my mom did not drive. And so we had two gentlemen show up at my house to take me in the back of the car down to this church camp. And I was terrified, to say the least. And I had actually forgotten my Bible, which was a little bit humiliating for me on the drive there. And I just remember wanting to bawl my eyes out. And I had no idea what I was going into with that summer church camp. And they put me in a cabin with a group of girls that were very cool. And they had it all together. And they were older than me. I was the youngest person in the cabin. I think I was a little misplaced because the age group was already full. So they put me in the next level up. And I think I was with some very, very cool, hip high school girls that I could not connect with and just was so shy. And with all of that said, it was at that church camp that I heard more about the Holy Spirit and heard more about being baptized. And I had realized as I was hiding in my bunk at that camp and doing all of the work that everyone was supposed to be doing, I got to know baptism and I got to understand the crucifixion a little bit more, the resurrected Christ, the Holy Spirit. I got to read about those things that, you know, and I'm not saying I just understood it all then either at barely 10 years old, but it just really touched my heart. And I think at that church camp is where I decided that I knew I needed to be baptized. I had actually been baptized as a baby Catholic, but I knew I was choosing to be baptized at that camp. And then I wound up getting this beautiful trophy at the camp out of the 100 girls. That was kind of my first of all, I was terrified to go up there and get that trophy because I didn't want to draw attention to myself. And I'll never forget, I had an orange polyester dress on with flip-flops, and I wasn't particularly thrilled with my outfit, and I knew that I had not made the best impression on my cabin mates who were having a great time and were out chasing boys in the evening and so forth. And so I just really kind of dragged my feet across the floor walking up there to get that trophy that day. But it really kind of was my first experience getting some sort of recognition and kind of feeling that leadership you know, in a certain way, being kind of a role model for folks. I think that was probably my first on the books experience with something like that.
And that was a time where you were reading God's word. Began to personalize your faith.
I did.
Mean, you knew there was this great God that created the universe, but how did Jesus become more revealed or understood where he's my personal savior, but he's going to walk with me this day?
Right. The reality of that, the realism in it, understanding the Holy Spirit a little bit better, which is very complicated for people and for myself too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm not an expert in these areas, right. But just understanding what that means when you ask the Holy Spirit to come down and that the Holy Spirit is inside all of us every day, all day long, you know, just understanding that and recognizing that and walking with that and building that faith of knowing, hey, I'm not in this thing alone. No matter what's going on around me, no matter what adversity it is that is put in front of me, I don't have to do this alone. And I don't have to be that shy kid that can't put my chin up and walk with confidence that, hey, there's a rhyme and a reason to all of this. And I may not always understand what it is, but I have complete faith that that's the case. And I'm looking forward to what God's bringing today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day.
And what I'm hoping, Melissa, with some of your testimony and this faith journey you're on, it didn't mean when you accepted Christ, everything worked out rosy. I love how Jason always said, suddenly there weren't unicorns sending out Skittles to everyone and everything was just fine. There has been suffering and being widowed and disappointments of life and trying to figure and sort things out. And at some points, you know, not attending church for various reasons, but you always knew that God was there for you. So say an encouraging word for somebody that's maybe their faith has grown cold or they just haven't connected to see or sense that there's a loving God for them.
It's very easy to feel very downtrodden. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to feel isolated and alone, especially with COVID and the recession and inflation. And it's very easy to be very down on ourselves because we live in a world that has very high expectations for us. And we put all that weight on ourselves to make those things happen, to do what we need to do, to what we think is to be somebody in the world. But here's the thing. We're already somebody in the world. God has created every single one of us to be somebody in this world, and we don't need to face our days that way. Even the best of Christians fall on their face, and I trip over myself. I don't know about you, but I mean, 8 times a day, and I'm probably doing it on
this
show.
I've been since third grade, so no. I love to say that to people. I always get a reaction out of, oh, no, I haven't sinned since third grade. No,
and let's face it, we live in a society that is becoming more and more sort of narcissistic and more so that we're all supposed to wake up every day and just magically be happy and have it all together and accomplish all of these things for ourselves. But here's the thing. You do not have to put that pressure on yourself. Mm-hmm. You can give this to God, and you absolutely should, because it lifts that burden from you. It takes that pressure off of you. And where you build that faith in God, you will 100% recognize where he's showing up for you also and what crosses your path, which is 100% God work there. Mm-hmm. But it's there, and it'll be there for you. I always say that it's not God that keeps people out of church. It's people that keeps people out of church. And as you mentioned, there were times in my life where I did not go to church. After Chris passed away, very suddenly, I could not go sit at church, not because I denounced God. I didn't feel particularly angry at God. I didn't have that. But I couldn't sit in a sea of people who were happy and seemed like they had it all together and could not relate to my situation, raising two boys on my own and having that type of devastation and trauma. I couldn't be in a sea of those folks and feel good about it without just bawling. I couldn't feel good about it. And I bawled my eyes out every single time I tried. Didn't matter the church. I just bawled my eyes out until one day. And I really did want to go to church. And I'm not here saying everybody needs to go to church either. I believe in that. And I believe in that because I know that where we put people together for fellowship and where we're all worshiping together, that God will be there, that God is there. And that is 100% biblical. So you absolutely want to. I encourage you to put yourself in those arenas, no matter what you're experiencing, no matter how hard it may be. You will be amazed at who God will connect you with and what those experiences will amount to in your life and do for you. And just hearing the word of God, you know, it is complicated for folks. I hear this all the time at the Salvation Army. I try to read the Bible. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. Can you tell me you really believe this? Listen to sermons, YouTube that, You know, listen to live streams. If you don't want to walk into a church, get involved that way and get around people so that you can feel that, right?
Yeah.
Because that feels a heck of a lot better than the evening news. I can promise you that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and don't we all want to build on that? Don't we want to cultivate that? Don't we want God to manifest that in our lives and to feel that positivity and that hope that lives there in us through God, that we can walk with complete confidence? And we know that it is for those who love God, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. And if you don't feel like you've been called, guess what? That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. You're just not there yet.
That'll
you don't
preach.
Recognize it yet. Because you are 100% are called. You just got to find it.
You know, I'm already thinking I'm going to have you back to talk about the Salvation Army. But I do want to close out in like a minute to share how your dad was needing some services and how God brought you to this point. So we'll close out with that story.
So as you had mentioned, I have been very blessed professionally. And I never in a million years did I think I would, A, be living down in Central Illinois at this stage in my life, or that I would, B, be working for the Salvation Army, which is a wonderful organization that I absolutely love. And I feel so honored and blessed to have this position. The Salvation Army's mission is to preach the gospel and serve those human needs in His name without discrimination. Two things that I am super passionate about. So my father is a veteran. My father was a drill instructor candidate during Vietnam in Cherry Point, North Carolina. We moved here when I was about 5-6 years old from Cherry Point. And my father never got service connected. He was very blessed. He was able to be pretty self-sustaining without getting service connected in his profession, raising a very big family on a dime, as a matter of fact. But my father, very hardworking. He has Parkinson's, stage 5. Currently, he has full-blown dementia, and he landed in the nursing home during COVID. He fell in the middle of the night, basically got swooped up by the ambulance, and no fault of their own. God bless them. I know, you know, this is absolutely correct, but during COVID, you can't get into the nursing homes, and, you know, it kind of felt like he got kidnapped in the middle of the night, and it was very, very difficult. And my father and I have always been close. I'm the oldest of 5. So I was trying to get him service connected to get him in the VA home up in Manteno or Danville, whichever came first, and navigating those waters during COVID, a lot of red tape, very, very challenging, lots of tears during that time as well. And I Googled veteran services on a random Sunday, and the Salvation Army popped up.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was managing 7 employment agency offices across Central Illinois. And that was very challenging during COVID as well. I was working from home. It was super depressing. I became an empty nester during COVID. And then literally 3 months later, my dad lands in the nursing home. And so I went down that rabbit hole and learned all about Salvation Army, of things that I never knew about Salvation Army. I was so impressed, and just, it was jaw-dropping how much the Salvation Army does. And I never knew the history, and I never knew the programs and services of the Salvation Army, or that it was even a Christian organization for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so impressed by it that, you know, for the next 2 weeks, everything Salvation Army was popping up in the margins of my computer, and this job popped up. And I thought, my gosh, there's no way I could do that job. But it just touched my heart. I felt like everything that I had done the last probably 5 to maybe even 10 years had led to this point. And there were things there in that job description that I knew I had done well in other places, that I had learned in a self-taught manner over time after making some pretty big sacrifices to do that. And I threw my resume out there, and now here we are. A little over a year later, and I get to represent a wonderful organization and help people in need and talk about Jesus all day and basically get out there and network with folks and have fellowship and bring that to the community and help those in need in the community. And I feel like I'm not working. I feel like this is probably the best job I've ever had in my life. And there's not a day that I wake up out of bed and feel like I'm going to work.
And how neat that God has taken all those vast experiences in the business world, in marketing, in personnel, working with different people, organizations, and such. And now the Salvation Army gets to be the recipient of your gifts. Now you're making a lot less than you made out in the world, much less, but God has you strategically positioned to bless many people. And we'll have to have you back to talk a little more.
You can't put a price on happiness.
Right. And the fact that God has you in the right place for this time.
So, and you know what else? You can't wait for things to be going super well to decide to be happy or to decide to connect with God at any moment of the day. This is what I would encourage you to do. Speak to God and ask, right? Ask, because you will absolutely be amazed, and that's where faith grows.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that verse in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, the ASK, ask, seek, and knock, and the Lord answers. And so that's what he would want for all of us.
For a long time, I was not a good asker. And I didn't ask because, one, I felt like I had already been blessed. I don't want for much in my life, so I didn't want to ask for things when I know there are bigger needs around me, right? Hmm. But I also would feel guilt in asking. The thing is, ask. Just like your parent wants you to ask if you want something, we need to ask our Heavenly Father for things as well, so that he can show up for us and so that he can better connect with us, right? That's what prayer is for us, so that we can connect and we can feel better and we could speak to our Heavenly Father and build on that faith that, hey, we are not in this alone.
Amen.
We have a Creator.
Amen. With me in the studio is Melissa Wilhelm. She's the Special Events and Development Coordinator for the Salvation Army of Champaign and Vermilion County, right across the street from our studios here at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. And that's what would you call that?
So that's actually our social service center.
Okay.
We also have the church, which is on Prospect Avenue. Okay. So there are two locations. Across the street here, we have the veteran shelter. We have the food pantry. We have the social services for rent assistance, utilities assistance, and the Salvation Army offices as well.
And we're going to have you back to talk more about the services and events that you're putting on and ways for people to get involved. Well, thanks for listening today. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. Thank you, Melissa, joining me today on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. and at WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab, so you can listen anytime or pass it on to a friend.
And thank God for you all.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Melissa Wilhelm with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.